ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6 as we continue our study through the Word of God, and we're going to finish up Revelation chapter 6 tonight. And if you remember from last time, we began to look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the unleashing of these judgments that corresponded with Jesus opening the seals on the scroll. Again, these are the seal judgments. And keep in mind that the seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments, and then the seventh trumpet judgment contains the seven bowl judgments. And the idea here is the seven seals contain all the judgments of God, in a sense, poured out upon the earth, from the coming of the Antichrist to the return of Jesus Christ, and we'll see that. Now, in our last study, we saw the first seal open and the Antichrist was unleashed upon this world. And from there, we moved to the opening of the second seal, where we saw great wars breaking out. And then the third seal, which spoke of famine upon the land, and everyone was affected except the rich. It didn't bother them because they had the money to buy the food. Now, keep in mind that these are the beginning of birth pains that will lead into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, or those last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, some have had a hard problem believing that this is a judgment from God in these earlier seals here. And they hold that the rapture then doesn't occur until the midpoint or sometime after the midpoint of the tribulation period. That's when the great tribulation begins and the wrath of God. And the reasoning, there's a lot of different reasons. One of them is we don't see the word tribulation or theolipsis in the Greek used for the first 3.5 years. And so they say, well, this is obviously not a judgment of God. Now, even if we just consider this the beginning of birth pains, as Jesus said in Matthew 24:8, the beginning of sorrows, it doesn't mean it's not part of the labor for the woman. You see, when labor begins, it will continue on until the birth of the child. And so when God pours out his wrath upon this earth, it's going to continue until the birth of the kingdom age. In fact, John 16:21, Jesus said this, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." The Greek word for anguish here is thlipsis, tribulation. In other words, as the labor begins, so does the tribulation period. Again, like I said, when a woman starts labor, that's going to continue on. When God begins his wrath being poured out, it starts with the seal judgments and it continues on. It doesn't start at the midpoint or at, you know, the seventh trumpet judgment or the last trumpet judgment. Not at all. It doesn't make any sense. And so when Jesus opens that first seal and the Antichrist is placed onto the scene, that's a judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, tonight we're going to pick up with the fourth seal, and keep in mind that these things are taking place in the first half of the 7-year tribulation period. So let's pick up Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 7, and see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. "When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth." So here's the fourth seal judgment being opened, and this fourth horseman of the apocalypse. And he's riding a pale horse or an ashen horse. It's the color of death. And it's interesting because we're told death and Hades followed him. You think, well, what's the point of that? Death claims the physical body, right? Hades claims the soul. Interesting. And again, if this is not the wrath of God, then I'm missing something. Think about this. As the judgment of God goes forth, one quarter of the earth's population are going to be destroyed. 2 billion people. I mean, the earth's population is around 8 billion right now. So let's figure 2 billion people die in this judgment. And some have estimated by the year 2025, the earth's population will reach 9 billion people. So 2.25 billion, 2.25 billion people die in these first four judgments here. You think that's the wrath of God? It absolutely is. And to put it in perspective for you, if I were to count to 1 billion at the rate of 1 per second, it would take me nearly 32 years to count that high. 2 billion people, maybe more. And can you imagine the devastating effects when 2 billion or 2.25 billion people are wiped out? First, it says by the sword or warfare. And you know, we could look into our recent past and see millions of men, women, and children that have been killed in the various wars that have occurred on this planet. In fact, it's been estimated that well over 100 million people were killed in wars on this earth just in the 19th century alone. And it's going to get worse, obviously, during the tribulation period. And we see that with the second rider on that fiery red horse, war breaks out. Civil war, world wars, devastation. John speaks of hunger or famine. And there's always been a problem of famine throughout history, but this is going to be the worst that it's ever been. We're told that at least 155 million people are facing acute hunger because of conflict, economic shocks, and extreme weather. The Global Report on Food Crisis 2021 says that COVID-19 pandemic has dramatically increased the risk of severe hunger in some regions of the world. And it's a new 5-year high for global food crisis. Affects 55 countries of territories just in 2020. And the publisher of the report said if current trends are not reversed, food crises will increase in frequency and severity. In 2020, 20 million more people than in 2019 experienced acute food insecurity at crisis or worse levels, the report said. So it's a very fragile system. And it wouldn't take much, be it manufactured or real, to see people starve to death. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation. You know, the World Health Organization estimated that approximately one-third of the world is well-fed, one-third is underfed, and one-third is starving. Wow, those are pretty amazing numbers. And yet what's coming doesn't compare to what we see right now. Then John speaks of death. And in this context, I think the idea here is various diseases that cause death. This was interesting. The more Union and Confederate soldiers died from disease during the Civil War than were killed in battle. Is that crazy? The influenza outbreak of 1918-1919 killed an estimated 330 million people. Wow. And during this time, I think pestilence will run rampant. Especially, you got all these dead bodies, right? Decaying? Yeah, disease. I mean, how easy it is to spread disease today. You know, years ago it was more difficult when there was an outbreak of some disease. It stayed in a local area. But now we can travel all over the world in one day. So if I'm sick, I don't know it, I get on a plane, I infect everyone on the plane, they go to their destinations and, wow, look out. Remember way back in the 14th century, the Black Death wiped out one-fourth of Europe's population by a rat-borne disease. Bubonic plague. And again, we've never seen anything at this level before during this period of time. And besides diseases, it also can be speaking of natural disasters like a flood, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and so on. And take a look at the Ring of Fire. See what's going on there. There's some crazy stuff out there, and I have to verify it, but there is some crazy stuff going on with some islands that'll blow your mind if those volcanoes erupt. It could be biological and chemical weapons that are unleashed. This is devastating upon the Earth. 1/4 of the Earth's population destroyed. 2 billion people. You can't even comprehend that many, can you? And the last point is they're going to die by wild beasts. Oh, come on, really? Isn't it interesting we're seeing wildlife coming into areas that they never came in before? Now, what happens when there's a food shortage? What happens when there's droughts and stuff? These animals are going to come into communities where there's food. So many will die. There's a report that says that because of the mega drought in the western states, a plague of rattlesnakes has emerged. And according to the Daily Mail, rattlesnakes have been moving into urban areas in California in large numbers because of the exceedingly dry conditions. Rattlesnakes are everywhere these days, he says, on front porches and potted plants and under children's play equipment. I'm busier than I've ever been. Complaints are coming in from all over the state. The mega drought in our western states has also created a plague of grasshoppers. Turns out that the little critters absolutely love the hot, dry conditions, and they've been multiplying like crazy. Federal officials are extremely concerned, and they're gearing up for the largest grasshopper killing campaign since the 1980s. Now, isn't that freaky, right? And I'm not trying to scare you. Maybe I'm trying to scare you. I don't know. But here's the thing. If Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, you should be scared. You should be terrified to enter in this period of time. You know, people are freaking out today. Oh, COVID, this, that. Look at what's going on here. 2 billion people or 2.25 billion people destroyed in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. You should be terrified of that if you don't know the Lord. But even worse, if you don't know the Lord, you will spend eternity apart from Him. So that's even more serious. And for us as Christians, you know, obviously this judgment is not for us. We're removed before the first seal is ever opened. But this is a judgment of God. This rider on the pale horse or ashen horse brings death upon the land. Now, when do these things come to pass? When are these four horsemen of the apocalypse coming on the scene? Well, I think they fit into the early part of the tribulation period. And turn to Matthew chapter 24. It's a section known as the Olivet Discourse because Jesus taught his men these things as they sat on the Mount of Olives there in Jerusalem. And he's sharing with his men the things that are going to take place before his second coming, the things that are going to take place during the tribulation period. And starting in verse 4 of Matthew 24, this is what we're told. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of birth pains." So notice how he opens up. He says, do not be deceived. Why? Because deception is going to grow. Look at it today. But we're not even in the tribulation period. Could you imagine the deception that's going on? Now, someone told me tonight that the government finally said that there's aliens among us. I was watching this guy because I wasn't sure if the little antennas were going to come out, you know, from his head. Are you kidding me? These are demons, but the deception to get people afraid, to get them scared, you know, what if they're real? They're not. They're demons. Don't be deceived. Many are going to claim to be the Messiah, the Christ. And the way it's written there in Matthew 24, it's multitudes of people. And isn't it interesting? You know, I say this a lot, but I'm always amazed how God knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's just like he nails it. Look at what the New Age has been saying for years. You are a God. You just don't know it. You have to be reminded that you're a God. And look at what the church is saying today, the God within you. Wow. That's really scary. Can you imagine if we were gods? In fact, the Bible says, you will die as men because you're not a God. You will die as men. And here's the thing. There is also going to be a man who steps forward, and he's called the Antichrist. He's going to be ushered onto the scene because of cataclysmic events that are taking place, and the world is looking for answers. The world is looking for hope. And I find, again, this is amazing that in our world today, you listen to the government, you listen to the news, you listen to people. What's happening? We're taking all our hope away. And I'll tell you this. As a Christian, if you place your hope in government or in this world at all, you're hopeless. I look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of my great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where my hope is. It's not in this world. Is it going to get worse? It absolutely is. Go look on YouTube. There's a news report in Australia about wellness camps that they're building in the middle of nowhere. And one of the people was complaining. They said, but there's no hospitals close by. Don't worry about that. I thought, that is the most bizarre report. You're building this in the middle of nowhere. What's this for? It's going to get worse, guys. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. That is the most important thing. I liked what Jim Fletcher said. He said that for God, there's no plan B. It's not like, oh no, this is going on. I'm going to have to change this now. Guys, you have to get the white out and change some things in here. Are you kidding me? His plan is going perfectly. Man thinks he's doing it, right? Man thinks, hey, I'm in control. I'm making the rules. I'll get these people to do what I want. And God's saying, exactly. Going according to my plan. Do you think Satan was winning when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary? Are you kidding me? He may have thought he won. He didn't. Because Jesus needed to go to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins so we could live with him. God doesn't lose, guys. I'll let you in on a little secret. I read the end of the story. He wins. And there was never a doubt. But I think a lot of Christians today are fearful. They're worried. What's going to happen? I don't care. I actually don't care. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. What am I going to lose? I really don't care what the world has to say and do to me. It doesn't matter. Because my only mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and, as a pastor, to teach you the word of God so you can live accordingly. That's my responsibility. So I think the rider on the white horse, the Antichrist, the first seal, is the one who thinks he's God. In fact, at the 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period, he goes into the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped as God, right? So it fits in perfectly. Next, Jesus speaks of wars, world wars, civil wars, all kinds of conflicts that are going on. Again, this fits in with the rider on the red horse as wars break forth, the second seal. Then Jesus speaks of the devastating famine that's coming upon the land. And this is the rider of the black horse, where food is scarce for the poor, but not for the wealthy, the third seal. Then he speaks of pestilences, earthquakes that will take place. Again, it speaks of the rider on the pale or ashen horse, the fourth seal. So the question is, when do these four horsemen of the apocalypse come on the scene? When do they fit into the tribulation period? Listen again to what Jesus said, and I'll read it from a couple different Bibles here. From the New King James, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The Amplified Bible, all this is but the beginning, the early pains of the birth pangs of the intolerable anguish. The Living Bible says, but all this will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. And the New American Standard says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. See, it's the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs the beginning of labor, the early pains. But what is to come is even worse. Again, you know, I was with my wife when our two kids were born. And in the beginning, it wasn't too bad. Then I think she was demon-possessed. I hope she's not listening. I'm in so much trouble. Good thing she's in Colorado, right? Maybe she'll forget. But the pains increase so much. But you know what happens when the baby's born? You forget about all those pains because now you have the child. We're birthing the kingdom age where Jesus will rule and reign. You see, the tribulation period is really divided up into two sections. The first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period is known as the beginning of sorrows, while the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period is known as the great tribulation. And it just makes sense. As you get closer to the birth of the kingdom age, the judgments of God are going to get more and more intense. And we'll see that as we get to the bowl judgments, or the trumpet judgments, excuse me, and then the bowl judgments. And I think by the time we get to the bowl judgments, those are firing in rapid succession. You know, here there's probably some time in between. But by the time you get to the last judgments, the bowl judgments, man, they got to be firing very quickly, because if it lasted a long period of time, no one would be alive. Amos, in Amos 5, verses 18 through 20, said this: "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" Joel said in Joel 2:11, excuse me, the last half, "For strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" So I truly believe these first 4 seal judgments that Jesus opens occurred during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, the beginning of sorrows. And then beginning with the 5th seal being opened, we're moving into the great tribulation, or the second half of the 7-year tribulation period. And I realize people have different views on this. I'm sharing with you what I see happening, and I'll explain it as we go through it. Look at verse 9 here in Revelation chapter 6. "When he opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." So here's the 5th seal being opened, and you can clearly see that these saints are those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and his word, and they're put to death. They're martyred for their faith. Now, this is kind of difficult, because we said that these seal judgments are from God, his wrath. And so is he pouring out his wrath upon these believers? That can't be right. That doesn't make sense. What's going on here? The 5th seal judgment is not the martyrdom of God's people, because God's not going to judge his people. I think the seal judgment is the prayer of those tribulation martyrs for God to exact his holy and righteous vengeance upon them, upon those who have murdered them, those who have rejected Jesus Christ. In Psalm 9:12, we're told, "When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble." Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." You see, God will answer these prayers, for their prayers that are in accordance with his will. But the big question, I think, is who are these people that are being martyred during the tribulation period? They are the saints who have come to Christ during the tribulation period. So again, I think we're moving through the halfway mark of the 7-year tribulation period, and then into the second half as the Antichrist is clamping down on believers in a powerful way. Now, I understand some like to say this is speaking of the church, and that we've seen the persecution against the church since it began almost 2,000 years ago. But the persecution today is from the world. It's not God pouring out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And yes, this is not God's judgment upon them. But even when God is judging the wicked, believers are affected by that.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.